You dickheads.
Welcome to episode 44 of Double Dodge. This one's called Vampire Squid Docking, which will become apparent as you listen to how we access the New Zealand meta hive mind. In this episode, we get on the world champion, one Will Weinveld, and a couple other of my partners in crime, David and Jesse. And we talk all things Australian Nationals. We talk whether it should be renamed to the Oceania or New Zealand Nationals, which is fine if they want to actually host the event. That's, you know, perfectly all right, and they'll probably get about six players, but they'll definitely be very good players to it. We go through how the Nationals rolled out, how Will managed to replicate last year's final against one coach, Mike, and take it out yet again. So it was an interesting one. I didn't get to go. Jesse's plane didn't even leave the runway, or did without him, we're not sure. So it's a good little chat. We then move on to a bit of a meta conversation. We talk Masons, talk Corbelli, and a few other bits and pieces and where we think the game's kind of going. So strap yourself in. It's a little bit of fun. And, yeah, in the usual kind of shit show that is Double Dodge, we'll wang out. So naturally, on the line, I think I say on the line every time, but anyway, on the line, we have a man who spends more time in Australian customs and possibly washing dishes than he actually does playing Gilball in Australia, yet he still has won the Australian Championship twice. Will, how are you, sir?
Very good, thanks.
No, very good, very good. Two other special guests, well, one of them is not a guest. He's returned from raising pygmy hippos in Liberia, my good friend David Scotland. Dave.
Campbell, Will, Jesse.
Whoa, spoiler alert, the third member we've got on is, he doesn't really need an introduction other than maybe if you guys can help me out with like a post-sex exhale or something like that. That's the best introduction Jesse needs. One Jesse Heiss.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
So we...
That was incredible.
so much energy.
Yeah, Jesse's glad to be here. Go grab another wine, mate. You'll be fine. Actually, just on a side note, Jesse did pass out watching me play Gilball last night. That's how shit the game was. So
it was very enjoyable to sleep through, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, I bet. Was it in your own bed or was it just like on the floor, mate?
Yeah, I was in my bed. It was unmade bed, though, so it was like sleeping on a junkie's mattress. But it was pretty fitting in the end, I suppose.
Well, now I have more questions than answers.
Off air.
We obviously recently had the Australian Championship, and naturally we don't like to break with tradition, so... Spoiler alert, although anyone who listens to this knows that Will was crowned champion again. Congratulations, Will.
Yay, go me.
Go you. Mate, you Kiwis are drinking, obviously, clean water, or there's something going on over there that the rest of at least Australia doesn't know about. What's going on?
Are you actually asking for, like, a serious comment as to the state of Gilball in New Zealand? Or do you want some witty, dumbass remark?
Both, I think. I mean, you can, you know, merge the two. You can freestyle it. You could just start beatboxing, really.
Okay. Clearly, New Zealand is just superior to Australia for many reasons, but obviously in Gilball. We've got a few people who play the game a lot here, and I think when you've got a really small meta, got a bunch of good opponents, you get lots of good games.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, I don't know.
No, that's fair. That's fair. How many reps do you guys actually get? This is something I was tossing up with for you guys and chatting to about, like, you know, volume of reps speaks a lot. How many guys, like, how many games do you play usually a week?
I probably only get two usually, and they're both on Vessel because there's no one in my city that plays. But I know that Mike and Pete play a few times a week. Mike plays probably four or five games a week. But I try and go up to Wellington to play those guys every couple of months or so. So when I go up there, we tend to play about 20 games.
Nice. And really dojo the shit out of a few things.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I'm kind of boring and I just play the same thing that I'm going to be taking to the next tournament over and over and over. But they tend to switch it up between all the guilds, so get a good sort of widespread of practice usually, unless there's something that none of us are comfortable playing.
Pete's a bit of a snowflake, though. He likes to just, you know, hard roll six models and just see what happens.
Yeah, he's a special boy.
He is indeed. So maybe we should start the conversation with a couple of journeys or journeys that didn't happen to get there. David, how did you? How was your flight and accommodation and entry to the weekend?
Well, my accommodation was nice. It was very good, very comfortable. But my flight was a bit of a shit show because there was a massive storm front that cut through Sydney and shut down one of the two runways at the airport, meaning a whole bunch of flights got cancelled or delayed. So my day started off with a cancellation notice from Jetstar and having to scrabble for another flight. But eventually we got there. That was all right. Still a lot of bullshit. But, yeah, I mean, I had more luck than Jesse did, that's for sure.
Jesse, you got any comments for Jetstar?
My flights got cancelled altogether with no alternative, so didn't quite make it up there.
Yeah.
Asked for a Qantas upgrade, but they said the one way was more expensive than my entire return flight, so it was a hard no on that. And I was pretty salty, but they offered me a nice 6 a.m. flight on the Sunday, and I was like, well,
it's a bit late. That's real helpful.
Just cut today too, man. Just cut today too.
Yeah, we could have just slotted you in the top 8. That's fine. That could have worked.
I was like, make it a top 9. We'll see how we do. Give me the bye first round as well. I was actually filthy because I normally drive up to Canberra. But this was Sydney, which is a couple hours longer. But if I did get that cancellation notice a couple hours earlier on the Friday, I would have actually driven. So it was just too late.
Well, didn't they postpone it initially?
Sorry?
Didn't they postpone the flight initially so they could have given you a cancellation earlier? Yeah,
so they delayed it and then they cancelled it altogether. The worst thing is I found out the plane actually did fly, but they, because they were delaying the morning flights, those people took my seat.
I didn't think they did that because then you just basically snowball far out.
Yeah,
I didn't think they did that either, so it's pretty filthy to find that out. But anyway,
yeah, I'm never flying Jetstar again, man. I'm done with it.
Boom.
I've had two flights cancelled by them with no replacement. So fuck you, Jetstar.
I never have an issue with them. I fly them all the time.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Do you fly? So, Will, did you fly Jetstar over to Australia?
Nah, I flew to New Zealand. It was really weird because there were probably less than 40 people on my entire plane. So, yeah, had three rows for myself. It was really pleasant. Got in before they shut all the runways. Good times.
Far out.
Must be nice.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. So, day one, Saturday, rolls around. You guys, you as in Will and Dave, sorry, Jesse, I don't mean to, like, you know, rehash bad memories. I'm there with you. I did miss CanCon because of my ass, so I'll just bring that up to make you feel slightly better. So day one. Wait, you didn't like that?
I just love that. I'll just leave that. Dead air, man.
Yeah,
dead air.
I was going to let it slide because it sounded so awkward.
Yeah, well, it was. I mean, if you had the surgery that I had, it is actually awkward.
I had nothing to do with your ass anyway. So.
That time.
This time. Go on. Day one. I'm muting.
Day one. David and Will, who wants to take the helm? We don't have to do a play-by-play of your games, but, you know, I want some highlights, I want some lowlights. Maybe we start with you, David.
Day one, round one, game against Sam last. That was a long, difficult game, man. And I think I probably burned up all of my mental energy on that one game alone. He was playing Corbelli. So get this, I went on to play, of the four games I played, on the weekend. Three games were against Masons, two games were against Corbelli. Yeah, so you do the math.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like you had a fun time, but also worked out that you don't like playing into old Corbelli.
No, man, he's pretty good. I'd rather be playing, against him.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Fair. That's a fair comment. Yeah, so yeah, no, that was my round one. I scraped through in the end, but yeah, it was about as close as it gets, and I was ready for a little lie down after that.
Did they have a lunch break then, and then you guys got a bit of a break? And
they did. And do you know what, Campbell? I did the sensible thing, and I ordered myself a chicken salad, and it was succulent.
Ooh. Have you got a photo of that? Can we post that?
I don't have a photo of my chicken salad, mate. I didn't think it would be on the quiz.
Oh, okay, sorry. I'll give you a heads up next time. Fantastic. No worries.
Yeah, so there you go, round one.
Yeah, nice. Will, round one. Who'd you get? What'd you do? And how did you touch them badly?
I got Brian Nagel, who I have not met, but I've seen him post on the forums a few times. Pretty nice guy. And we had a Corbelli mirror. it went well for my Corbelli and not for his Corbelli. I took mallet and broke all of his shins.
Okay. So as a interesting point there, what's the difference in the game, and yeah, like what makes one Corbelli better than the other? You know, player skill aside.
Well, I'd actually played it the night before versus Dave Wilson, Corbelli mirror, and I kicked off both times, and I think that in that matchup it's a lot better because having the kickoff with Corbelli means that the other Corbelli can't score on the first turn.
Yep.
And then I just got first activation next turn, smashed Flint and Corbelli's shins, and then his goal threat's gone.
Yeah, it seems pretty sad at that point, doesn't it?
It's pretty miserable.
Were the lineups the same, or was your mallet just got into him first, or was it, what was the kind of lineup?
He did not take Granite. He took Flint, and he took Mallet as well, and I took Flint instead. I took Granite instead of Flint. So he took a slightly different lineup for one I'd take, but I take Flint on the receive as well. So I don't think that's the wrong choice. And just the way the lines ended up sort of meeting meant that my whole team fought Flint and Corbelli, and the rest of his players were a bit out of position.
Okay.
So they both died, and then I put two goals in.
It seems like Corbelli things.
Just, well, it's Corbelli things, but yes.
Nice. Actually, just as an aside, at what point like you mentioned, obviously, with your training that you tend to take a guild and, you know, run with them for a while, at what point did you switch over to Corbelli, knowing that you kind of would take him to the Australian chance?
I hadn't decided until the morning of the tournament, actually, but I was tossing up between him and Steeljaw. I played him at a local, the Cooks release event. I don't know if you saw the dorky photo. But he was pretty fun, and he's obviously very strong. So I played a few games, practice games with him on Vessel and things. I think if you want the full reasoning, I'm happy to tell you, but it might be boring.
No, that's fine. And he's nerfed now, so there's no kind of reason. It's like he never existed.
Yeah, true. I've just found with Hunters recently that they have such a shit first turn that it feels... I figured there'd be a few Thresher players in Australian Nats because there's normally a couple of people who play them who are really good with them. Hunters kind of suck into Thresher, in my opinion. Corbelli felt like he didn't really have any weaknesses that were that noticeable, so that's why I ended up taking him over Steeljaw on the day.
So were there any? Because I would have assumed there would have been a couple of farmers. I don't think were there?
There were none.
So Sam didn't take him, and I'm just trying to think who else plays farmers. Yeah, I would have thought we'd see two.
Well, I played Harry at the APC when I was using Boar, and he played Trish, and he played better than I did. So I was a bit worried he'd take him as well.
Let me guess, he took Corbelli as well? Fuck, what's going on here?
I think he played Steeljaw, actually.
Did he?
Yeah.
Nice. He's got the Hunters background. He's played a lot of Hunters, I believe.
He's one of the nicest men in Australian guild ball, is Harry.
Boom.
He's a good bloke.
Yes.
He's top.
Yeah, just a lovely dude.
I look forward to our next rematch.
So out of interest, how did that one go down? Sorry, the ATC game between you and him.
He kicked off with Thresher and I got over aggressive as usual and lost Boar and Ox to just general retardation, and I basically won because he clocked out in the end.
Far out.
And then I had, after round one, a terrible, terrible chicken burger, not nearly as good as Dave's chicken salad.
Have you got a photo of that?
I didn't take a photo of that for you.
Fuck. All right. Okay.
Sorry.
Sorry, that's half the questions I've got on this list, but anyway, okay.
Photos of food.
Photos of food. Round two, David.
Who did play round two? I played Dave Wilson. And that was another, like, so Dave Wilson's a Kiwi. Pretty good player. Nice dude. Played Corbelli. What a dick. And it was a really tough game. Like, you know, he came in, scored early. I missed both of my initial wishes. So I played Theron. Surprise, surprise. And I missed both my initial, like, arrow to the knee pinned on Chisel. Which would have basically wasted Chisel's four influence. So he came in and, you know, Chisel was pinned in on I think it was my E-group. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, we wrestled over the ball for the majority of the game. Gets the two goals. I think he got his takeout as well. But he closed it out with a goal from Corbelli, who had come back on after being killed. Mycena goes in, knocks him down, scatters the ball. Ball scatters back towards my goal. Corbelli has one momentum and essentially his last activation. He sacks Corbelli's move to stand up, acrobatics, legendaries, grabs the ball, and then just fucking slots it in from nowhere. And I'm just like, yeah, this is great. This is good. And he clocked out at that point as well. So, you know, it was one of those games where it's just like, okay, all right, that happened. No problem. Let's move on. But I think I probably lost the, you know, like you're out of the tournament at that point. Probably wasn't even, you know, could have cut to day two, but realistically I probably wasn't going to make it. So, it felt like a good use of my time and my resources, and I just proceeded to go get a beer after that game.
Get drunk and play ping pong. That's always the best solution.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was my round two. Dave Wilson's like a great player, though. Like, the problem with these New Zealand guys, right, is they're breeding. There's more of them this year than there was last year. And they all tap into the same hive mind. So you're not so much playing an individual as playing the fucking Borg. And, you know, that brings some challenges with it.
Fair.
You should see before each round when we go to the bathroom and, you know, link together. To sort of, you know, sync up our mindsets.
So, Will, just a quick question about logistics. Do you basically just dock each other? Like, you just wrap your foreskin around each other and just, like, how does it work?
Well, I wouldn't want to spoil, you know, the secret tech, to be honest. I'd rather let you guess.
I can see a line of Australian gill ballers, going in and out of cubicles at the next big event.
The trick is to try and envelop your fellow player with your foreskin.
Right. Like a vampire squid.
Yeah, basically.
Fuck yeah, man. That's amazing. Sorry, I digress.
Sorry, I'm just imagining the Photoshop job I'm going to have to do now. I mean, I just feel sorry for poor Pete, where his face is going to end up photoshopped.
If you'd like some photos of him, to make that helpful.
Yeah.
I don't feel sorry for Pete. I want to see this happen. Anyway, next question.
I have no idea where we are, but I'm guessing it's Will's next game.
Oh, yeah. I played Michael with his miners. I have not met him before. He's a really nice guy. Michael Allen, I think.
Michael Allen, I think he's a Canberran. Yeah.
Lovely dude. And he got his shin smashed again.
There's a pattern happening here. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. He got a goal with Shaft. But I just kind of beat him up in the middle because miners don't do any damage, and I scored better than he did.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, that. Yeah, I think it comes down to how fast you can score, and if you're not looking at the threat range of Mallet, then that's not going to be good for you.
Yeah, I did actually feel like he was able to put a lot of ball pressure on me, which I wasn't really expecting because I got a couple of close control models and stuff, but it's actually not as easy a matchup as I thought it was going to be.
I actually think from the miners' point of view, I don't mind that matchup. I don't think it's a favourite by any stretch, but I think it's more a player skill matchup because you can put that pressure and, you know, play that really fast tempo game, which I know obviously Corbelli plays, but I think it's an interesting one.
Yeah, for sure. I think he didn't take Mule, and it was probably a mistake. He took Colossus instead, and I think Mule really kind of fucks up what I want to do because if he gets to Corbelli and just locks him down,
and just kind of you don't kill him, you stop him from doing anything.
Yeah, my team doesn't really have the oomph to put down Mule. Not outside of a back-to-back, pretty good chisel activation.
Nice. So on to round three. David, you're 1-1. You've had two beers and a chicken salad. Who'd you get?
I can't remember the dude's name. This is pretty good, isn't it?
That's rude of you.
Yeah, I don't do my research. Hold on, Cam. I'm just going to jump on Longshanks real quick.
That's fine. So, Will, round three.
I played Matt Graham, who I've played once or twice before. I played him at the ATC. That was a stomped him. It was not a good game. Matt has the worst luck when playing me that I've ever seen of anyone. So he was playing Order, and he missed five passes on his first turn and did nothing. And then he lost.
How do you miss five passes? Surely half of those are tap-in passes too, right?
Yeah, some of them were spigot passes too. Oh. It was just horrendous. I felt real bad. But
and then at that point, he doesn't have ball position, and you just pop in a few goals, and that's it.
Yeah, I Order are one of those teams where they're really sweet when you see all their tech go off, and I've always sort of wondered what happens if these guys fuck up a pass, and now I know.
Yeah, it reminds me of my Pinvice days, and that one time that, you know, this is pre, obviously, pass tap-in, kind of, you know, minus one target number, where you just miss that one pass you need, and you punt it backwards past your lines, and you're fucked at that point. Like, your whole goal line's done.
Pinvice basically misses every pass, from what I've seen.
Oh, no, she hits every one that she doesn't need, and then the one that you need, it always, like, you miss it and you scatter, like, 6 to 6, so it doesn't even go over the model that you were, like, passing to.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I felt a bit bad for Matt. He didn't make any of them, like, mistakes. He just got absolutely duped by dice. It wasn't much of a game at that point.
So, Matt got diced 12-4, 12-2? 12-4.
He had to get a goal in with missed after I scored.
Well, you roll that amount of dice on kicks, eventually one's going in.
Yeah.
Poor guy. Dave Scotland, I think you took on a Butchers player, by my reckoning.
Yeah, a bloke named Chris Pointer, who is actually an awesome dude. He rolled some Ox Butchers, but I think this is the interesting thing about the Australian meta, right? There's some new players. There's a skill disparity, particularly when you start to throw in, like, the New Zealand players. You know, if you look at the Oceanic meta, there's a big gap. I suppose it's like anything, but Chris hadn't played as much, or he'd been away for the game for a while. And, yeah, it was like 12-2. But
highlights, lowlights? You know,
I kind of got a 6-point activation at the top of one. So Boar had taken a bunch of damage round one. Like, he brings Boar into the center. He's just standing there like a big target, and then, you know, get him down to one hit point, two hit points. Minxie goes in and just bounces off him, kills him and scores a goal. So that's always fun. I like the big 6-pointers. But, yeah, you know, we had a chat. And, you know, he's listened to your podcast, Campbell. So he's a big fan. He wanted me to say that he finds you extremely attractive, and sometimes he struggles to get through a whole episode without, impure thoughts.
Mm.
So that's got to be pretty flattering, right?
Don't we all? Did you service him in honor of us, or what?
You could say that I did, yeah.
Yeah, okay, fair. Well done, Chris. I hope you enjoyed it. Dave's all about wristies.
It was a particularly dry wristy.
I mean, yeah, you are. That's right. This is what the joy of editing helps you, like, clean up. So round four comes around. The day's long. You've actually three rounds after lunch. That's a bit rough. I often like, splitting it 2-2. But anyway, David, while you're on a roll, who'd you get round four, mate?
Fucking Pete Williamson.
Oh, what a shit bloke.
And I get him at every fucking tournament, particularly if I, like, go 2-1, or 3-1. Always get him, like, the last round of the day. And it's like, what is this? Why? Anyway, I was pretty much done by then. So I'm just like, Pete, why don't we go just get a beer and then get through the formalities and, you can move on to day two. So we did. And Pete's a lovely dude, so it's always fun to play with him. And, yeah, we just got it over relatively quickly.
Was it you got a Cooper's XPA, one of those new ones?
No, nah, man. Big pint of Murphy's Ale, which was quite nice.
Nice, nice.
And then I had another one, and then, that was it, man. That was my day. So 2-2, not a great showing, but have to admit, I got pretty tough draw. Like, there's some good players in there. Like, Sam's a good player. Dave Wilson's a good player. Chris, Pete's a great player.
Yeah. So, it's not ideal. Pair up
in round four.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
You're the pair up, though.
Yeah, I was the pair up, yeah. So, fucking joy to the world. But no, it was good. It's good to see everybody. And caught up with Hados. Caught up with Ed. Didn't catch up with Jesse, which I was really sad about because I was keen to see him. But hung out with the New Zealand boys. All good. All good. Good day. Good fun.
Nice. Will, you got Edwin. Our good mate, Ed. Now, at this point, you're both 3-0. So regardless of what happens, you're probably skipping through to day two. Was this...
We did discuss just rolling a dice to see who won.
Well, yeah, but did you both feel like you wanted to case each other out and suss out the game plan and the style?
Yeah, pretty much. And I think if it was the same as last year, you get a slightly easier draw by winning all four than you do if you go through one.
Yes.
Because it's 1v8, 2v7, et cetera, et cetera. And I like that. We had a really good game, actually. I clocked out for the first time ever. That sucked. Didn't like it at all.
Sucked in.
No one cares, mate.
Whoa. That's because you scrubbed out.
It's getting pointy.
I had to spend an entire weekend getting insulted by Dad. So, yeah. It's just a lot of...
That's true. That's true. I was a little rude to you all weekend. I apologise. Or do I?
Do it by now. But yeah, it was a really good game. Managed to win it. Basically, on the brink of losing, Corbelli needed to do like 8 damage to Hemlock and cover or something to get it done. And he did, because he's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man.
That'll happen.
Well, I had the knockdown on the first one, so from there, piece of this.
Yeah, it's trivial.
Nice. Just Corbelli things. Nice. So then. You all go out and get pissed and have some more chicken burgers and salads?
Dave abandoned us and just disappeared. And
I went and had dinner with Hayden and Ella because I hadn't seen him. And I love Hayden. He's the best dude. And Ella's a sweetheart. So it was good to catch up with him.
Shout out to both of them. That's all I've got. Sorry. And so you, the Kiwis, then just worked out what they were going to do day two. Now, I believe it was a 4-4 split. Is that right, in terms of Australians and New Zealanders in the round of eight?
Yep, that's correct.
And as fate would have it, the matches all basically split such that it was an Australian versus Kiwi round one.
Yeah. It couldn't have been more fated, really. I was just disappointed that any of you made it through round one.
We like to ride the back of Ed, all right? You know, so it's just something we do.
Awesome. It's a mighty back to ride.
He is a solid unit. I wouldn't mess with him. I definitely would never get into the octagon against that guy.
I don't think I would either.
No, fair. So, I mean, we don't need to do a play-by-play of each of the matches, but you fought your way to the top, to the final. What I found interesting about this was, not only was it an all-Kiwi final again, did you play Mike last year in the final?
The final four was exactly the same matches and people.
Get out. Really? Yeah. So you played Ed.
I played Ed in the semi-finals last year, and Mike played Pete, and I beat Ed, and then Mike beat Pete, and we played in the final.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I'm a little bit sad about that, but anyway. And the final looked like pretty much a walkover. You've played that with Mike before. You just said to him, mate, just lay down, you're fucked anyway, and that's what happened?
Yeah. Nah, I've never played that matchup before. I mean, I've played Mike like 100 times, but I've never faced UK. Yeah, it was a really good game, actually. MVP Mallet broke all the legs.
It's a completely common theme here. You just basically, that's your strategy. You've just given away your entire strategy for when you go to Worlds.
Oh, well, I threw my Masons in the bin when I saw the errata, so it doesn't really matter.
Fair. So I guess, I mean, obviously you then went on to win and we gave you our trophy because it had Australia written on it.
I think it's my trophy.
Yeah, and I think we are going to rename it. Anyway. So Corbelli, speak to me about Corbelli. You guys obviously worked out that he was pretty good. I think a few Aussies had jumped on the bandwagon, but I just found that really interesting. I mean, Dave commented that he faced a whole bunch of Masons. What was it about him that you basically thought was, you know, the thing that you wanted to take? I know you said, like, lack of bad matchups.
Yeah, I felt like he doesn't really have any hard counters that I felt Hunters had. He's super flexible, and his positioning bullshit is a little bit over the top sometimes. I mean, it was basically in the second game against Ed, I had the ball on Corbelli. Well, actually, it was on Harry by my goal. Corbelli got it, passed to Granite, dummy passed her, dodged off the pass, making space, and she ended up down by his goal with no Blaz around.
Oh my God.
So, just 12 inches of dodges for basically no cost that don't really require any dice to hit apart from a 5-dice kit. It's just crazy.
Yeah,
and I was able to sort of score with Flint, and because of making space and all the rubbish like that, I can just get him out of dodge. Didn't even die when he scored. So he's super flexible. His legendary was OP. He can beat up shit in the melee if he needs to. It's just a really, really flexible team, I think.
So then the changes to him, where does he sit in the meta now?
I think he's trash.
Right, so basically the ball retrieval is obviously the better part of it's completely gone, and the damage going up, it's just that's enough to basically put him in the bin.
Yeah, I think the thing with the ball retrieval, I agree the legendary was too strong. I thought the change that would have made it fine was probably reducing the range or having it not able to pick up free balls, just so it lost some of its versatility. But now the fact that it is literally tetherball,
yes,
is just rubbish. And, you know, if they were going to move his 2 damage to 3, which I think is perfectly reasonable for a striker captain, why did they not give him 1 damage that he could hit?
Yeah, that's fair. Put like the one with the dodge on the one or something.
Yeah, it's the whole shaft block. It doesn't need to be on one. It could even be on two, but if you sort of think about it, if Corbelli fights a 4-1 model on 1 health, he statistically cannot kill that.
Fair, fair. And I've had that issue with Shaft as well, where, you know, you can get all the gang ups in the world, but your rap actually means nothing other than momentum.
Yeah.
At that point, you're probably printing it anyway.
And cooler reps will push. That's real helpful.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think the nerfs are probably a little bit heavy-handed. I think he's basically unplayable now, especially given the honor buffs. But maybe someone will prove me wrong.
Yeah, maybe. So does that actually, I mean, you've thrown him in the bin. Where do you live? Because I'll just go get him.
You want to come to my city? We'll have a game.
Yeah, for sure. New Zealand is the most, like, amazing. It's like walking around and they're just postcards. People are just pinned up postcards everywhere because everywhere you look, it's just amazing. So, Honor. So you just jump on the Honor bandwagon?
I'm probably not going to play Masons anymore, to be honest. I don't really like Honor that much. The improvements are big. Like, don't get me wrong, Masons have had some pretty strong buffs with Fiorata, but it's just not really my style.
It does bring me to a point, and it's a discussion point that Jesse and I have had, and Haydos, about superior strategy being cost two. Boys, thoughts on that?
I played Pete Williamson. Pete was playing Honor, and the value he got out of superior strategy was really, you know, combined with Pete's ability to play and some strong positional play on his part and poor positional play on my part. But superior strategy is such a trump card. It's like, I will always have activation and I will generally always have range on you. If I don't have range on you, then I've got the middle of the board and you're basically shut out of the game.
Hmm.
I don't, like, we banned that extra activation on Avarice and Greed, right?
Yes.
Why do Masons get to keep it? That's my question.
Why do they get to keep it at a cheap cost? That's my concern, right? There needs to be a negative. My opinion, and this is, I've voiced this to a few people, is I don't mind them keeping it if that's their thing, but it has to be at a severe cost, you know, because it is a fundamental of the game, having that extra activation. If you can guarantee it, you know, that last activation, it can be, yeah, quite pivotal. And like you said, ball positioning is everything. Cost two is just so cheap that you will cast every turn just to make sure you've got that extra activation.
Well, you can build an entire game plan around it.
Yeah.
But if you sort of think back, I mean, I might be a little off base here, but one of the concerns that Steamforged had going into season four was that there was too much jailing that was occurring within the game. So, you know, you reliably run a game from the end of one turn to the top of the next turn, always roll that extra activation advantage and basically shut out another player on that basis. And I recall somebody saying that, you know, that was a problem that they wanted to fix. This is, like, institutionalized within the Mason rule set. And to Pete's absolute credit, you know, he saw that. He's played Masons before. He understands the value of it. Is it too oppressive? I mean, is changing the cost enough? Maybe it is. Maybe you put all your eggs in one basket and you allow a bit more counterplay. But, yeah, I don't know. I just had that thought after we played.
I mean, the cost has actually only in influence terms gone down by one. You've got the opportunity cost, basically, that Honor can do an additional thing with her additional influence. But because she's not allocated one, you know, it is actually only one cheaper.
So I actually think that the real issue is that you'll generally always guarantee yourself that back-to-back activation and that following turn activation advantage. And that's a really difficult thing to play around. Like, you know, that player is always going to get in and generally always going to make their money. And in a game, like at higher level games, it's such a huge advantage. Like, it basically dictates how the game's going to go. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not bitching. I'm just saying, like, here's the thing. Seems pretty good. Doesn't need to change a bit more.
Yeah, I think it's super strong. Absolutely.
Tell, it's probably more impressive for goal-scoring teams than it is for beating teams, because a beating team doesn't always care if they don't have last. Like, it's nice for them that sometimes they can kill you first anyway. Whereas a goal-scoring team often really relies on that last activation to score the goal without rising.
Yeah.
And Masons have the option of doing either. You know, they can flex to either depending on the board state. They're super versatile. I mean, they've got a huge toolkit. Makes up for them being as vanilla as fuck, I suppose.
fair. Now, it's an interesting one. I'm sure it'll play out, and, you know, we'll soon see the stats on Longshanks as to, you know, whether there's a massive uptick in honour or just Masons in general. I mean, there have been some other pretty cool erratas. I think Brick's just become insane. He looks really cool. Lots of fun stuff there. And then combinations, you know, within when it comes to, you know, the fulcrum ability of Brick and then, you know, Tower's abilities. So, look, I do like the errata time where we have that opportunity to kind of relearn a few things. I don't like having to relearn the amount of pages that we've basically got to with this one. But at least it opens up a whole bunch of, you know, different play styles and hopefully changes the game a little bit.
Yeah, I'm all in on Union again. I just look at some of the changes there and I'm like, yep, that looks pretty good.
Yep, just pulled mine out of storage.
I love it.
And both captains are really viable, I think, given the changes they've made. Like, I'm keen to play some Blackheart again.
What?
You're wrong, but that's your prerogative.
True. Fight, true. I was also wrong on the weekend, so, you know, why stop this streak?
I think Minx getting Momentous 3 on the 3 is pretty tidy. I like that. And there's a whole bunch of changes, but things like that I like.
Oh, man, that O-Rage change, you know, tooled up with Momentum, like, yes, please.
Yeah.
But Hunter in me just goes, yeah, that's very efficient, yes.
I think just Vet Rage is sort of... I mean, I can tell you that playing against Ed, Vet Rage is not weak. Even pre-errata. And I think he got quite a few... He got way more powerful than I thought he was going to be.
What? Yeah, he's looking pretty baller, isn't he? Like, that changed to quick time and the damage on his playbook and then the squaddies that he has access to. Just, yeah. It looks really
and just good. Just a random additional influence as well.
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with that? Sorry?
Well, Boar lost one, so it had to go somewhere.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I mean, people had an issue with Boar, so we've got mini Boar.
They must still have some Union models in stock that need to shift.
You got to move it around. You can't nerf everything.
They do not. I had a look on the store today, and they do not.
yeah, he's Steamforged. No, I still don't understand you, but I love your game.
Any other points?
All Union teams.
Ooh.
But you feel free to jump on my site. That's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So freecitygames.com. Is that right, Jesse?
Correct. Thank you.
Nice.
Get the free plugin.
Well, you know.
I love that, man. I love that. Jesse's like the dude in the opium den. He's just in a fucking smoke dream, and then he comes out when he hears the prospect of money. yeah, here I am.
Absolutely.
Well played, Jess. Jesse Heiss is a national treasure.
He is. He's both of those, absolutely. Oh, have you seen the quality of the new models, though? I mean, I don't know how production's going to go in terms of the supply, but like Edge, I've got an Edge sitting here, and the model is, outstanding.
Yeah, they look really good from the photos I've seen. I haven't turned up yet, but looking nice.
Did you buy them through Jesse or someone else?
I don't know, actually. I think I got Mike Swan to order them for me, so I don't know where they're coming from.
I think
he did buy something from you, Jesse, because he was expecting you to bring it to this tournament, and then you didn't show up.
Yes, that is true. Unfortunately, I cancelled all my flights just to nerf Mike Thorne.
And it worked.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Will.
Good job. Thanks for that, man. I'll buy you a drink next time.
Sounds good.
Nice, nice. So, any other points of note on the errata? I mean, you know, we don't need to make it an errata episode, but anything else that tickled anyone's fancy?
Well, I think alchemists are playable again.
Which change in particular? I know which ones I like, but
I think, well, Midas is a playable captain, which is nice. But I think the changes to vet caps are probably enough to give alchemists what they were missing. Granted that you've got to be quite careful with him because he is the biggest momentum pinata in the world, but I think that burst damage that you didn't have before outside of Infuse is probably enough to get you a couple of kills to finish the game off.
Yeah, agreed.
I think if New Zealand ever starts a Guild Ball podcast, it should be called Momentum Pinata.
I'll take that under advisement.
You're welcome.
Do you want to be on it? Voice. I mean, I'd probably rather call it Ulf's Ballsack, because I think that's much better. But you guys did already.
Well, I was the original fucking Momentum Pinata for the Kiwis on the weekend, so yeah, why not?
We enjoyed your presence, though. It was nice to catch
you. Yeah, it's always good to see you guys. Mike Thorne, what a legend. I love that guy. He's like the nicest dude. I think he was a bit sad I didn't spend more time with you, but... Yeah, it was a busy weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sort of failed us. We're getting used to it.
Oh shit! Yeah. Thoughts on the Errata. Hunters look alright. I mean, I like what they did with Jaker. I like what they did with Egret. Are they going to be any more dynamic? I don't know. I mean, they're funny. Like I played some Steeljaw and. She's very static and slow. Scarf is obviously the quick football option. But, yeah, I think I just need a break from him, really.
That's sort of the same thing I was finding, is that Steeljaw's kind of just stompy and boring, and Scarf there is not good enough.
And Theron, I mean, I fucking love Theron. Like, he's my favourite captain in the whole game. But, yeah, I just don't know that he's... quick enough in this meta. I don't know. I just think it's time to play something different for a bit. Thank goodness for the errata.
Do you think the meta actually changes with the errata, or do you basically think they've doubled down on the kind of speed at which the game's going?
I don't know. I think it's still going to be quick. You've still got some really good like football options. Maybe not in Corbelli anymore, but, you know, like Fish haven't changed, Miners haven't changed.
I feel like they've brought Union better. Up to that speed. That's what I kind of feel.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, I think the only thing that got hugely more powerful is Union.
Yeah.
Yes.
And aside from that, sort of buffs were just, you know, enjoyment. You know, trying to bring up some of the Mason squaddies and slow-mo play. Oddly not doing that to any of the other guilds, but...
And really, that... Sorry, well, that Union buff really just fills the spot that Vetboer will vacate, I think. But they've got a much deeper bench and good options to flex, so, yeah.
Well, and, you know, stripping them off the other guilds, you know, shout out to all the Alchemists fans out there. You guys have got fuck all for a long time. Good job.
Yeah, good job, and fuck you.
Yeah, absolutely, you deserve it. Who would play Alchemists, seriously?
Yep. Yeah. Actually, my highlight for the weekend was having Pat come over. It's like young Pat from our meta. I think he really enjoyed himself, man. Like, I think he had a good time.
Mr. Pat Hull, he's a champion. He is a staple of our tiny little meta. And, yeah, we managed to convince the poor bastard to spend a whole bunch of money to come over and get beaten up by Kiwis. He did all right, didn't he?
Yeah, had a good day. He went to too. You know... got to play some games outside of the usual fucking four people he usually plays. So, yeah. You know, we had a nice wander around Sydney together and good chat on the train on the way into the tournament. Pat's a dude, man. Like, this is a great thing about Guild Ball, right? Like, just good people. We're really lucky. There's a very small amount of arseholes. I think I'm probably the arsehole in the matter.
That's not
so, yeah. Yeah. Lucky us. No, but Pat was good. We went for a wander down to Circular Quay at about fucking 10:30 at night. Looked at the Opera House, you know, saw the Harbour Bridge. It was all very touristy.
Did you hold hands?
We did hold hands.
Very romantic.
Well, I took his photo, and he's going to crush it on the old. Actually, I think he's got a girlfriend, so I can't really say that. He's going to crush it on Tinder, but he could if he wanted to.
Mm. Luscious beard.
We did get a photo next to a random Thomas the Tank Engine that was at the Sydney train station for some reason. I don't know why. It just happened. Not the first time that's happened either.
So that's it. That's all you've got for me. I mean, given that like Jesse and I basically whinged to each other about how neither of us were there, my weekend went really well. I think I should tell you about mine. I started off with a Friday night where we had photos at the soccer club, and because I coach one of my kids, I had to be there for that. The next day was an Intercol soccer match at frickin' 8 o'clock in the morning, so I had to be there at 7:30. Now it's earlier than I get up most fucking days, for which the kids then had to play in what was best described as a quagmire, and they came up with the Shrek Award for the kid that got the muddiest for the game. But I did manage to, we're going to award one of the kids a Shrek Award. And then they wanted to award the donkey one, and I wasn't so sure about that. And then I got to see Hugh Jackman on the Sunday, so yeah.
Oh man, you love Hugh Jackman.
He is a legend. Actually, interesting note, so he's... legit cool guy, and he brings up, does a lot of ad-libbing and chats throughout the kind of show, brings up people from the audience. And during our performance, he got this guy up and had a chat to him. Anyway, my wife's cousin, who's quite a bit younger, she's 13, she was in the audience at the performance after us. Sure enough, manages to get pulled up on stage, gets to dance with Hugh Jackman, no worries, yeah.
How jealous were you, Campbell?
I was jealous. She can pirouette way better than I can, though. So, I would have
Mate, I remember on that flight to WTC, you watching The Showman.
Uh-huh.
Such is your enthusiasm for Hugh Jackman.
Multiple times, I believe.
Yep.
Do you want me to start singing?
Yeah, go on.
No, I'll pass, thanks.
Classic Campbell. That's what they call your old blue balls dandy, don't they?
So, Will, off to Worlds, mate. We managed to get enough people, enough sign-ups. If it wasn't for shitty, Australian weather. I was about to say climate change then, but I don't know, some people might not like that opinion. We might have had a few more people. So, you off to Worlds. You don't even know when it is.
I mean, I'd like to say I might be off to Worlds. It's entirely possible there could be no more Steamcons.
Fair. Would you like to elaborate on that and make some kind of statement atop your soapbox?
Nah, I'm good.
Fair.
I mean, it is a fair point. Nobody's really sure what's going on.
No.
And I think it probably will be early next year, right? They seemed pretty serious. I actually saw Rich jumped in the Discord today, and that is a brave, brave man.
Well, he did acknowledge tinfoil hat gate, which I think was very big of him. That whole thing that turned into a meme, which turned into a movement, which saw the overthrow of a hierarchy. I don't know, man. It's like Hong Kong at the moment, and Rich Loxham is the Chinese government. So, full credit to him.
Yeah, kudos for. It's really stepping up to the beer pit.
Yeah, how did that go exactly? I was in the dungeon the other day, but I haven't been in for a little bit.
I thought it went well. it went pretty well, actually.
It went probably about as well as it could have done, I think. What do you say?
Yeah, exactly. He did, this is what I love about the dungeon. Fair play to Kevin. He's built a beautiful monster. And they make these little emojis, right? And they made a Loxham tinfoil hat emoji. And Loxham actually used it during the conversation, which you got to lean into that sort of shit, right? You can't. So that's why I'm saying fair play to him. He actually demonstrated a lot of goodwill, and I respect that.
Fuck, I love this game.
It's so stupid. I just, every time I go in there, I'm like, fucking hell, man, we must all be bored with our jobs. Because there's a lot of work that goes into that thing.
Yeah, I have to sort of like, when I'm quite busy at work, I have to consciously close the Discord so that I'm not constantly distracted.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's good when the salt mine's open. That's the best time in the dungeon. Salt for everyone. So. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, it's interesting. I've obviously, like, stepped away from the podcast for a bit. Partly because I wasn't, you know, wasn't feeling Guild Ball for a while. Partly because I wasn't sure where everything was going. But I don't know. Maybe they're turning a corner. The model quality is getting better. They seem committed to trying to make it work. So I suppose you've got to give people the benefit of the doubt. But fuck me, man. Calling your customers like tinfoil hat wearing goons is not. It doesn't inspire a lot of confidence, you know.
It's not structured marketing. Actually
apologize for that.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, I guess the only reason why they haven't obliterated the game is because the game was so good in the first place. So that's the only argument I can kind of see. You know, that we all love it on such a level that, you know, whilst it's waning, we're still willing to tolerate it to a point because of the value of how good the game is.
Exactly. I mean, somebody I was speaking to on the weekend just said, like, it's the best game that nobody plays. And it's really hard because you can't get stuff, and you know, like they're pretty sincere about trying to resolve the distribution issues, and I'll give them the benefit of the doubt for a bit longer. But you know, it is an incredible game. It is one of the best games I've ever played. Given so much of my time to it, so I'd love to see it come good. You know, I'd love to have that passion back.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'd love that. We want your passion back.
Yeah, man. Well, I've got a lot to give. I think everybody here knows that.
So what's on the cards tournament-wise for you guys coming up? Are we going to CanCon?
CanCon. We're all meeting at CanCon, aren't we? I've had a brief chat, and we've made sure that that's going to go ahead on some level. Yeah, we'll see you Australia Day, a long weekend in Canberra. I actually was going to... Sorry. Go on, Dave.
No, I was just going to ask Will if he's going to CanCon this year or next year.
Yeah, I'm intending to.
Cool.
I'll try and get a few people to come over if there's a reasonable size skateboard event.
Well, I'll suggest now that I think maybe on the Friday night or something we have like a Australian New Zealand Bledisloe style matchup.
Yeah, we could do that if you want.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about potentially combined WTC teams for next year?
I think that's a very good idea.
I love the idea.
And but they've
Oceania
got to
team.
Or just Anzacs. Or is that just offensive to the actual Anzacs?
It's probably offensive to the actual Anzacs and potentially to Turkey as well. But there you go.
Okay. Well, I just want to use this platform to say, fuck the Turks. No. Don't. I take that back. That was for comedy.
And you completely did that, so I have to do more editing? Is that what you're saying there? No, which is fair.
Don't edit out. Please don't. Also, and don't edit out this grovelling apology.
Your Australian reputation.
Yeah. Fuck. So I think absolutely CanCon is a lock-in. Definitely want to... Like, for us, or like Dave and I have gone to the last few, and it's one of the best ones to go to just because all the other gaming and catching up with everyone. But definitely the idea of trying to get some combined teams for WTC, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I love it. I think CanCon's my favourite tournament in Australia. I just really enjoy it. A bit more than Nats. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, like Aaron, this is something else that should be said. Aaron did an incredible job running Nats. He fucking knocked it out of the park. It was super smooth, great prize support, Just a really good day, good venue, massive credit to him. But having said that, there's a buzz that sort of goes with CanCon, which I think is a big part of it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I'd floated the idea of whether you try to do a nationals at one of those events, but I guess you know, from our point of view, we'd have to see, you know, so CanCon or WinterCon, we'd have to see where the Steam Forged or SteamCon actually falls to then be able to time that and whatnot. So
when or if?
Yeah, well, both, absolutely. If, because yeah, I mean, we can still have a nationals. Fuck it, you know. I'll put up a trophy. I'll spray paint something gold.
The prize is a free trip to Dubbo.
Nah, it's to Orange. You get to stay at Haydos's house.
Oh shit! Actually, I'd play for that. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, the trophy's a car door though, burnt.
And then the winner has to take it with them to the next tournament and hand it over. Like, you have to check that as luggage as well.
Absolutely. Well, you handcuff it to the winner. They've just got to carry it everywhere.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
We just had a Cook's release event in Wellington. At the first prize, I won that one with a vehicle belly. The first prize was a fucking engraved meat cleaver. I'm like, yeah. Oh, I've got to fly with this thing. And it's like the one time I think in the last, you know, couple of years I'd booked check baggage. But might have been a little sus to put on the plane.
No, you'd be fine with that.
Well, there isn't any security, so you probably would be.
Yeah, it's not like you're in America, right? Where they basically scan your internal organs before they let you on the plane.
Yeah, we just kind of walk up to the gate and a bunch of sheep kind of sniff you and then like jump on through.
I love that. It's like not even sniff of dogs. You just can't be bothered. You just get your girlfriends to do it and stuff.
Oh, come on, man. Come on. I mean, I know they kicked our ass, but yeah.
No need to resort to low blows against
them. I know. Fair.
Against their friends and family, come on.
this is definitely falling apart. I think
we just cut the last 40 minutes off and it'd be sweet.
I think we just go to the bit where we talked about Vampire Squid and docking, and we're good.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. It's like a real return to form, Campbell.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Veritable shit show. Well, on that glorious note, David, it is fantastic to have you back.
Oh, it's fantastic to be here. Thanks.
From Liberia. Will, congratulations. You are the champion we want and deserve.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I hope that I can see you at the next event.
Yeah, bloody oath, mate.
Give you a big cuddle.
I'm there. We're on. So, assuming any major surgery I need, I'll be there. That's good. And Jesse Heiss, are you dead yet? He's dead set passed out. Oh, fuck. Okay. Well, thank you all for coming on the podcast. And yeah, we'll CanCon it is. The ANZACS or some other acronym for an Australian New Zealand Gilball team. I love it.
Fuck yeah. Can't wait.
Thanks for having us.
See yous.
Welcome back. That was a nice little chat. If you do want to go to Liberia and save the pygmy hippos, just hit Dave up. He knows how to actually access that charity. Look, that was fantastic. A couple of shout-outs at the end. Jesse, freecitygames.com. He's a legend. Gives us our plastic crack. Jump on there. I believe he's got some of the Free City draft models there for pre-order. So go on. He makes at least a dollar off them. So, you know, that'll help fund his alcohol addiction. So help him out. Also, a massive shout-out to Aaron Hartwell. and I think supported by Matty Graham. I wasn't there at Nationals, so I actually don't know, but Aaron runs a pretty tight ship, and apparently the event was really good. The venue was really good, so keep up the good work, Aaron. That's about it from us. Shout out to my good mate, David. It was awesome to have him back on the podcast, and hopefully he doesn't venture too far and wide in the future.
Yep.